Morning. And this is the ninth point in the series that what is the church? What is its purpose? And while this is probably one of those subjects and topics that a lot of people don't really want to hear because it always comes to the conclusion of those who are not fully yielded and surrendered to the Lord. That's all the preacher is asking. He's always dealing and talking about money. Always about money. Always comes down to the bottom line. All about money. Well, it is. It's in the Word of God. We're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God. Amen. It's not like you get to submit letters to me and say, well, you know, preacher, we'd like you to preach on this, but we want you to preach on that. And we're okay with this, but we're not okay with that. I'm going to preach the Word of God. So as God leaves messages and God leaves them on my heart, then I'm just going to let it rip and let it go. Amen? And when you preach the whole counsel of God, you're going to touch on some people's toes along the way, but that's just the way it goes. And so as we look at the church, what is its purpose? Quick review, we'll get in that in just a moment. Perhaps one of the many realities, sad realities, that takes place when the local church or any church has to turn to bake sales, craft fairs, yard sales to boost their financial status. I had a woman school years back who attended our yard free, and I guess people don't understand what a yard free is, because usually when someone puts up something's free, they mean free, right? No charging for it. And I know maybe they think that's just a come on. They're supposed to donate or give something along the line. But this woman attended the Yard Free, where we give, again, everything donated for this event away absolutely free. She was insistent that we take her donation. And we adamantly refused. And she asked, well, how do you support your church? How do you take care of your church? And she stated, we need to have bake sales to boost our finances. So why would any church, godly church, need to go outside of their congregation to raise funds to pay their bills? Think about that. Why would they have to do that? Well, part of the problem is parishioners are not faithfully following the Bible on giving. That's basically the primary reason. Others have no clue how God established His plan for financing His church. They have no idea. But if you read the Old Testament, and you look at the command of God that they were to bring certain things into the temple, that there was a temple tax and so on, and that was to finance God's program and to finance God's business, then there are others who are always content to let others carry the load of means. Yet they enjoy the warmth in winter, being dry in rain when it rains, cool when it's hot, for others to make sure that salaries and programs are financed by others. They don't seem to have a problem with doing that. That's like going to McDonald's and paying Wendy's. It's something altogether different, if you would. And so as we deal with that this morning, we'll be looking at a quick review here and get on into the text of the message. Father, guide, interact, and meet all the needs of this hour. Lord, again, this is one of those things that exists in the Scriptures. And, Father, You have so much more to say about money in the Scriptures. And Lord, it's goodness. And, Lord, the nature of the human heart concerning money and finances and giving and accepting. And so, Lord, we pray that You'll guide and direct and that our minds will be open, our hearts are receptive as well to what You have to say from Your Word. Lord, it's not that Calvary's hurting financially, but, Lord, if we don't preach this truth, then, Lord, there are blessings that are lost. Lord, blessings that are more important than anything that we could possibly do with the money that, Lord, belongs to You in the first place. So, Lord, You guide and direct, move in our hearts accordingly. Lord, even if it's to salvation or to rededication, we pray that You meet the need of the hour in Christ's name. We pray, amen. And so we've already been looking at, if you remember my review there, encouraging, the church exists for the purpose of encouraging others, and that's what we're here for, is to encourage one another. And even in our own midst here, there are decisions that people have to make, and we need to be an encouragement. And I mean, not being a Budinsky, not being nosy and getting into someone else's business, but we have some folks, like Peggy and ourselves and our family, that have been dealing with our oldest son, Ron, very concerned during the time that he had lymphoma. We never once doubted what God would do, what God wouldn't do, but others are carrying other other heavy burdens with unsaved loved ones. So we need to come to be an encouragement to one another along the way. But then secondly, winning the lost. If the local church doesn't care about those who are lost, who's going to care for them? Think about that. Well, you don't have to belong to a church to care about the lost. But the church has a program, an outreach program that, if you would, through missions, whether it's home or whether it's foreign missions, or encouraging people to give out tracts when you're going out and about, and getting and praying for opportunities to be able to share the gospel along the way. And then we said, thirdly, that raising a godly family. We come in, we learn the family dynamics. We teach here and preach here from the Word of God what God expects of you and I as husbands, as fathers, as grandfathers, as and so on, as church leaders within here. So it's important that we learn how as men, what God expects of us, and ladies, what God expects of you, and young people, what God expects of you as well. And so, fourth thing is strengthening ourselves spiritually. We come together to be challenged. I know sometimes we have a rough week prior, or maybe even worse than the next. Maybe we've just had a terrible week. We come into the house of the Lord here, and we just need to be strengthened along the way. We need to be encouraged, because sometimes doubts have a way of creeping in along the way. And then we learn about humility here at church. We learn about obedience. We learn to fear the Lord. In both sides of the issue of the word fear in the New Testament is phobos, which is to reverence God. And also, listen, if you're going to transgress against him, then, yeah, you better be concerned about how he's going to deal with it and you as well. And then, D, we learn to fight the enemy together, 1 Peter 5:8. We have an enemy. And he is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And then we looked at the fifth one under that was to prepare us to meet Jesus. We dealt with that last week. He's coming, amen? We know he's coming. He came the first time. Now, it took a few thousand years. It's a long journey, all right? No, I'm just kidding. It's not a long journey. All he has to do is think the word and he's here. But the truth of the matter is God's going to send his son back in his perfect timing. Our responsibility is to be ready, day in and day out, for at such a moment as you think not, he's coming. So be careful what you're saying. You may be caught in something you wish you hadn't gotten bent. Yeah, you get it. Fifthly, was restoring the backslider, encouraging him to come into the house of the Lord. Training new converts, setting up classes for them. The seventh thing was starting new churches, and the responsibility, if we had people coming from a long distance, a number of people coming from a long distance, then it might be advantageous for us to start a church in their community. Send some people out there, and I know that Peg's nephew, they were attending a pretty good-sized church in Orlando, Florida. And the pastor wanted to get a church started up in Gainesville, Florida. So he asked for some volunteers to sell their homes and go up there and help start a church. And that's exactly what they did. They went up to Gainesville and they started a church up there in Gainesville. That's one of the responsibilities of the local church. Amen. And then we said that eighthly, we are to be a house of prayer. And that's what Wednesday night, we keep our messages short on Wednesday night so we can spend adequate time in prayer. And we have a prayer list that we go down. And the ladies meet Tuesday night. They meet in a Bible study Tuesday night. They meet with a Bible study on Wednesday morning. And they have their prayer time. They pray for all the ladies in the church. The men get together and we pray together too at the first Saturday of each month. And then ninthly, financing God's program. The church exists to finance God's program. And we've already read 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1 that says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Now, we'll deal with Malachi in a little bit here, which deals with Old Testament principle. It can be used in the New Testament if you want to go that route, or you can give as God leads. And usually God wants us to step up by faith and go out and give above and beyond. And so, financing God's business, let me go back there to that one. We'll hang in there. Nope. There we go. Church exists for the purpose of financing God's business. And so the first thing we look at is, first of all, we need to be clear that it is not the government's responsibility, nor the state's responsibility, nor the town or the city's responsibility to fund or to aid in the financial work which God has for the local church to do. Now, I know there are government programs that can come in here and weatherize our church and do this. We're keeping ourselves as clear from the government as we can possibly keep ourselves clear. The government has, I don't want them to put their oars in our water. We're going to be completely and totally subject to God. God's leadership, God's direction. And we've got, by the way, we've got our doors coming in starting on Monday, the Lord willing. There's no more COVID breakouts there at Kelly, the doors. The first one's going out there. Then Tuesday, one of these other doubles, and Wednesday, hopefully they'll be done getting in our new doors so that they will be weather-tight doors, and I won't have to come in and shovel the snow from the inside of the door rather than the outside. So you know, it makes it a little bit different when you have to do those kind of things along the way, but they're coming and get those done. And so we praise God for those who have given to make that possible for us to be able to do all of that. So we have to understand that now there was a time in history when the church was owned by the community. The building was owned by the community, and that's where they met. And I'm so thankful that's not the way it is today. We've become full circle that the local church is to be an autonomous church. Yeah, it's supposed to be self-supporting and so on. So if the local church has to turn to other sources such as government or society to keep its doors open, then there is something seriously, seriously missing from that local church. So much so that God is unwilling to provide for its needs. Now, there's no reason for a church to close down. If you do what God's called you to do, and you're doing the work of God the way God wants the work done, then He is going to bless that church. He's going to be able to keep that church door open, financially meet the needs of that church, and go beyond even what the needs of the local church are. It's a sad commentary when we hear of churches that, well, we have to cut a missions program in half. Why do you have to cut your missions program in half? Praise God, we've been able to increase over the years. Not because we're doing, I believe it's because of your willingness and your heart's desire to serve the Lord, to see the gospel get out. And we have a burden for missions, and we have a burden for missionaries. We have a burden for souls around the world. We want to see them get saved. We want to see churches started in other countries. We want to see orphanages. We want to see clinics and Bible institutes set up so that the nationals can go to these schools and go back to their towns and go back to their village and start schools. And I'm convinced that when you have a heartbeat for the work of God, God will take care of the needs. It's when people get off and they begin to preach powder puff sermons, they begin to preach watered down messages, and they don't really hold to any biblical standards and commitments along the way there, then God begins to withdraw. And it was the Spirit of the Lord and the truth of the Word of God's not being presented, and the church has become a respecter of persons rather than a respecter of God. We need to always remember that we ought to first and foremost be a respecter of God. And so when we understand that the church is people assembling together in a building for the purpose of carrying out God's purposes, the problem then is the spiritual response of the redeemed of the Lord to their responsibility in financing God's business or programs, if you prefer. Missionaries can't go to the mission field on air or an empty pocket. And they don't go. Missionaries, when they go to the field, the mission board that they go on under has already determined what they're going to need. That means they raise support for their own health insurances, for their own materials, for their own housing, for their traveling. And that's all because of the people of God that give into that particular mission. That's why we have missionaries come. And I believe that's one of the big things my daughter has often said concerning the SBC church in throughout the South, and maybe up here too. They give to a cooperative program, and they don't have a lot of missionaries come by. They have other maybe local preachers come by, and they hold a Bible service and all, which is fine. But I don't know about you, but I like to meet our missionaries. I like to meet those individuals that we may partner with and see them, whether they're going to India, or whether they're going to South America, whether they're going to Africa, or even missionaries here in the States, or wherever it is that God's called them to go. The truth of the matter is, we want to meet them firsthand. We want to kind of get an idea. And I've had over the years the mission board call me and say, listen, you need to stop supporting so-and-so. We went to the mission field and things are going on down there that should not be going on there. And so they keep tabs on these missionaries out there. And if something isn't going, they contact the local church and say, listen, you need to stop support for the time being. And we've only had that happen on a couple of occasions in the past. But God will do that. And so the problem then is again, the spiritual response of the redeemed of the Lord to their responsibility in financing God's business. Part of the responsibility of the redeemed of the Lord is to finance the business that God has of winning the lost, winning souls. Now, let me see here. We shouldn't have to state God's business, but for those who don't get it or understand it, it is to train up believers to go out into the highways and the byways to win the lost to Christ by the gospel. That is one of the missions of the church. It's one of the great commissions that God's given to us as a church, as Christians, to go out into the world, out in the highways and the byways, take the gospel, to let people hear it, make their decisions whether they want to accept Christ or not. So this means sending out missionaries to preach the word where God calls them, and this costs money. They can't go out there for free. Brother Dan Charlin was one of the few that I've known that out of our ministry here that just packed up his bags one day and said, I'm not going to wait for support. I'm going out by faith. And he went out by faith. Now, does he have some ups and downs along the way? Yeah, he does. But, you know, he said God always meets his needs. God always comes through. But he went out strictly by faith. And his ministry is basically based on love offerings and the few of us who do support him along the way. If you want to live by faith and go out there, then by all means, if God calls you to do that, then you jump in there and you go out by faith. God's going to take care of you. I guarantee you, he will. But there are other needs you have along the way. And if you feel led to go up by a mission board or even by a local church, really, mission boards need to be attached to a local church. Or the local church needs to be able to send out its own missionaries, which means the church has to take on a tremendous responsibility. And they may enlist those missionaries that are going out, may go out and enlist other churches, but they're out of your home church as a result of choosing to go that way. And we have some of our missionaries that have gone out independents through their local church. But secondly, it is to train up believers in the local church to reach their community with the gospel. And this also costs money. How many of you know how to lead someone to the Lord? Well, if you don't know how to lead someone to the Lord, then we failed in our leadership positions. You tell me afterwards, and I'll change the adult science book class, and we'll go through some soul-winning messages and teach you how to lead someone to a saving knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and maybe even to disciple those individuals. But our responsibility is to get the gospel out. And by the means of the internet, as we do on a regular basis, we have our live streaming, and so we're reaching out to as many as we can. We encourage our home viewers, by the way, to invite others to come in if they don't have a church. Other family members, maybe it's a neighbor, invite them to come in and join you for a Sunday morning brunch. It's going to be an early one, brunch around 9 o'clock, because we get started at 10 o'clock. But you could do that. And thirdly, it's to do their best to meet the needs of the poor in their community. And this costs money as well. You know, a lot of churches are really glad that the government has this welfare system, because that means now they don't have to give. They don't have to be concerned. The government's going to take care of them. But you know what? That is the responsibility of you and I as a church, as a body of believers, is to be concerned about those in that community. Because in that process, we have an opportunity to be able to share the gospel with them out of their need. And then fourthly, we want to meet in buildings that are safe and warm. We want a staff to provide leadership. Buildings need maintenance and utilities need to be paid on time, and materials for classes, that we need all those. And we're glad to have them. But we're not willing to participate in procuring them. Well, perhaps there simply are those who think all these things just happen and take care of themselves along the way, that they just all of a sudden manifest themselves as like manna did in the wilderness for the Israelites. Well, that's not so. We have to buy these materials. We have to pay the electric bill. And sometimes we are able to help others pay their electric bills. And sometimes for food and so on, we're able to help along the way when we're contacted as well. But again, that all takes money, and it has to come from each and every one of us. We have a part and a responsibility. So here's the reality, if you will. The local church is the only institution on earth that has been established by God and commissioned by God to do His business. Only institution. The church is to send out missionaries. Missionaries are not supposed to be mama called, daddy sent. They enter into the call of God. They candidate at various churches or through mission boards and go out to individual churches to raise support to go to the mission field. And if it takes 100 people to get into the mission field, they've got 100 prayer partners. They have 100 people that are helping to support that mission, that missionary financially. That's important to understand that as well. And so, this means that other ministries should be attached to a local church, be it a Christian school, Christian college, a mission board, radio ministries like this and others need to be associated with the local church. They should be local church oriented. Now, what about the tithe and offerings that the Bible clearly instructs God's people to give to God's work through the local church? Well, the tithe is frequently mentioned in the Old Testament, such as in Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. We're going to turn to Malachi chapter 3 in verse 10. A very interesting conversation between God and the prophet Malachi before the 400 years of silence, if you will. But he says there in Malachi chapter 3, and it says there in verse 10, it says, bringing all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So, the tithe included the harvest, the first of their animals. It included the first of their finances, and it was required, but the free will that is mentioned there, offering was just that, an offering to be freely given. As God moved you, as God spoke to your heart, it might be more from some, less from others along the way, but they could give free will offerings at any particular time. So Malachi chapter 3:10 promises a blessing in which God will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing such that one cannot contain them. I don't know, would you like to be blessed by the Lord? I mean, if you're financially faithful to the Lord and giving into the ministry of the Lord, listen, God knows what your needs are. You don't have to sit there and count your pennies and say, okay, well, Lord, I can't give that much this week because of and this, that, or the other thing. You know what? You give because God tells you to give. The Holy Spirit moves you to give. Because God may have something in store that you had never planned. But you forfeited that blessing because you argued with God and said, no, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that this week. And so, for the Old Testament saints to not obey the Lord in this, he considered one a robber. He says there again in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. He said, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And he says, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. So when God speaks to us to give what God wants us to give, and you disobey, then that leaves you open for adversity. But he says in verse 10 again, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, I will open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that ye shall not be able to contain. I lost my spot there for a minute. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And so, when it comes to money matters in the New Testament, though, Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, we'll turn there, is also a very important portion of Scripture for us when it comes to finance and the business of God. Matthew chapter 6, I just went by it. Looking at verse, I think it's a very, very familiar portion of Scripture, verse 19 says, lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If this world is all that there is that you desire and crave, then you have nothing when you get to heaven. If you have come to a saving knowledge of the person of Jesus Christ, and you have not used your time, your talent, and your finances to move the kingdom of God forward, then you get to heaven, you're going to be bankrupt, totally bankrupt. But those who give of their time in service to the Lord, whether it's teaching a Sunday school, whether it's playing the instruments in church as you practice during the week, or any other ministry that is in the church, you have blessings waiting in heaven for you. You're laying up for you in heaven. You can't send money ahead. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need your gold. God doesn't need your silver. He needs you. He needs you to be willing to give as he leads you to give of your time and your... to read that tract, to find a message of that tract, and then to determine whether or not they want to come to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior or not. But you did what you're supposed to do. Prayer. Time. You can have time to pray for one another. I produce a list every Wednesday night that can be put out there, and not a lot of change. You go online and pick it up online, and you can use that in your prayer time. Praying for brothers and sisters, praying for unsaved loved ones, praying for those who are sick. That's time that you give to the Lord. And it may be sacrificial, because while you're getting ready to go into that prayer closet and begin to pray, you begin to think, well, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do that. Well, first of all, you need to go in the prayer closet so that the things that you need to do will get done better. Amen? God can guide you and direct you through those things there. So, folks, we need to understand this today, and that is that we can never outgive God. And the more we give of ourselves to the Lord from our heart and in obedience to the Holy Spirit, the greater our blessings here and on that day of our accounting, because we're going to give an accounting. Every one of us must stand before God and give an account. What did you do with your time down there? What did you do with the talent? What did you do with your money? Because the count up here shows that you did nothing. You did nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Just so that you know what I'm talking about here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer what? Loss. But he himself should be saved, yet so as by fire. Folks, faith, promise, missions, giving is an important practice of the Christian life. It's what keeps our missionaries on the foreign field. And I knew I should have put that in white. But Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You can't outgive God. Now that's in the middle of two verses, of one before and after. It deals with judgment, about the beam and the mote. But you know, we need to be liberal with our forgiveness. We need to be liberal with our time for God. We need to give liberally of our talent, and we need to give liberally of our finances to the work of the Lord. If God is Lord, then He is Lord of all we have. You don't get to pick and choose what you give over to God, what you turn over to God. My house is the Lord's. My car belongs to the Lord. My wife belongs to the Lord. As her husband, I belong to the Lord. My kids belong to the Lord. And we made a decision very early in life that we were going to make sure that we understood that they were the Lord's, and that I have a responsibility to God concerning my wife, and her, she has a responsibility to me as her husband. We have a responsibility as parents to our children, and a responsibility as grandparents. I have a responsibility as a pastor to the congregation. I have responsibilities. And I have to give over. This is not my ministry. This is God's ministry. This is the Lord's ministry. If it were my ministry, I'd preach only on the things that would tickle people's toes and maybe their ears along the way and whatever else. But this is God's ministry. I'm going to be held accountable for it. I've got to preach the whole counsel of God, whether you like it or not. The word give in Luke is in the present tense active voice in the imperative mood, which means that we'll be doing this presently. You and I are the ones who are supposed to be doing it, and it's imperative that we do so. It literally is. And so, we ask ourselves as we close, will the man rob God? How will you answer this question? Are you robbing God? God has blessed you. Are you turning around to be a blessing to God in the same process? Don't wait to get to heaven to find out how serious God was about this, because it's too late at that point. Well, Father, we thank you for this time that we could be together and again gather around your word. And Lord, it's just a brief overlook into the purpose of the local church. But Lord, if we as believers do not give of our time and our talent and our finances, then the local church cannot exist. In a place where we can meet and conduct your business, whether in these particular walls or into the community or beyond our community into the world. Lord, it just simply cannot exist. It cannot accomplish what you've called us to accomplish. And so, Father, I don't know what you have in mind and in store for those who are listening, whether online or whether in the sanctuary this morning. But Lord, I can stand as a testament to your blessings for when we give of ourselves totally, when we recognize you as Lord of Lords over our lives and in our lives. Then Lord, it can change the whole spiritual dynamics in our relationship with you. And so, Lord, you have prospered us in ways that we can't begin to imagine. Lord, if we could just catch a glimpse of what's going on in these third world countries and what meager money and, Lord, sometimes it's just nickels and dimes a day that they have to live off. And, Lord, they live in cardboard houses or they live with tin roofs and no walls. And, Lord, they pick through rubbish to get stuff to sell or to eat or to wear. And Lord, we somehow think we're giving our all if we give a nickel and a dime to the church. Lord, you have prospered us in so many ways. You've given us good health. You've given us good jobs. Lord, you've looked after us in so many ways. And Lord, help us to be mindful of these things when we come to this time. Lord, when you tap us on the shoulder and you ask us to serve, will you ask us to give? So that, Lord, we might also be a blessing, that we might be that means by which you prosper others as you have prospered us. And so, Father, we want to honor you today for the prosperity that you have given to us and the blessings. And Lord, as we do, Lord, may we be mindful that there are other souls out there that need to hear the gospel. And again, Lord, that's our responsibility. But Lord, it's one of those invitations where we'll ask for about salvation. But Lord, this is a decision that each and every individual is going to have to make in his or her own life. And Lord, it's going to be between you and them, not between them and me. Lord, it's going to be between you and them and what they do and how they handle it. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning, and I'd ask you this morning, if you do not know Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, if you have a hope so when you die someday that you're going to go to heaven, but you don't know so, I'm here to tell you that you can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that if you were to die right now, you should go to home in heaven. I can show you from the infallibly preserved Word of God how you can know this. Heads are bowed, eyes closed, at home as well. You can come to this understanding that you can know Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. It's simple. Nothing complicated. Jesus took all the work out of salvation by going to the cross, the giving of his life, the shedding of his blood, his burial and his resurrection. All we have to do is believe that he did this for you and me. Accept him as Lord. And he will receive you into himself. He'll put your name in that Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible is very clear in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15 that whosoever's name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life shall be cast into the eternal lake of fire. Preacher, would you pray for me? Heads bowed, eyes closed, not a soul looking around. I have no idea where I'd spend eternity, but Lord, would you pray for me today? Would you pray for me? I'm not going to point you out. I'll just ask you in that home, on bended knee, you can make the same choice, same decision right there. Oh, Father, again, we thank you for this time that we could be together. We thank you for your infallibly preserved word. Lord, we may not like everything that's in there, but Lord, it's there for a reason. It's there for a purpose. And Lord, it's there for all of us, not just for select individuals, but it's there for all of us. And so, Lord, as we accept it and we receive it, may we become obedient to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Father, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Now, Father, won't you dismiss us with thy blessings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.